A morning of today's daf Nirvan Samech Vav. We are on Samech Emet Beis. We are starting a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. We're going to be starting this morning with Reish Lakish here in the sixth parak of Erevin. And this is the beginning of our discussion of Eruvei Chatzeros. That means to say the sixth parak is the beginning of Eruvei Chatzeros. When more than one Jew lives in a Chatzer, in order for them to be able to carry from their house into the Chatzer, which is a common area, so despite the fact that both are Rishus Yachid, so nevertheless it would require an Eruv. This is a Takana de Rabbanan that goes all the way back to Shlomo HaMelech. The Eruv unifies everybody. It forms a single entity. Exactly how the Eruv works, if you remember, that goes back to Daf Mem Tes, where the Gemara has discussion whether Eruv is symbolic, a little bit more symbolic in nature, or is it a bona fide kinyan. Whatever the case is, everyone's going to be making a contribution, everyone's going to be adding bread into the basket, and the basket is going to be placed in somebody's house, and that is a form of unification of the Eruv. First Mishnah here in our parak, which we're still in, which has been some time ago right now, the Mishnah goes all the way back to Samach Alpha Medbeis. So the Mishnah introduced the idea, a secondary Gzera de Rabbanan, of what happens when there's a goy that lives in the chatzer as well. When there is a goy in the chatzer, so you have to be socher rishus. You have to go ahead and you have to rent out his space in the chatzer. Reason why the Chachamim enacted this is because the Chachamim wanted more distance between the Jew and the non-Jew. To have a Jew and a non-Jew living in such close proximity to one another. So Yilam Deinim and Ma'asav, we're going to be learning from his actions. The Chachamim did not want us to do that. And so therefore the Chachamim required that we have to rent out a space. A knock on the door is required. We're going to have to ask him if we in fact can rent out the space from him. He's going to be a little bit freaked out by the idea. And the Chachamim, that's exactly what the Chachamim wanted. In terms of Schirus, that too was a question of the Gemara. Whether or not it's a Schir Bria, Schir Ru'a, whether it's a bona fide rental, or whether it's just simply a token rental. What the difference is going to be. So the Gemara discussed that just a little bit, but the conclusion of the Gemara is that a Schia Bria, that a bona fide Schirus, means that once I rent it out from him, I could do whatever I want in the Chatzer. I could put out lawn furniture in the Chatzer. If it's a Schia Rua, so just simply a token Schirus. But it does not mean that I'm actually can make any additional usages in the Chatzer. When exactly is Schirus required? That was a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that Schirus is going to be required even if it's one Jew and one non-Jew. Even though, as the Gemara already concluded, fundamentally speaking, a Jew vis-a-vis the Takanas of Erev is not really considered a Dira, but nevertheless, because of the secondary Gzera, so Rebbe Meir says that even if it's just one Jew and one non-Jew, so there's a requirement of Schirus. It's a milsa de lo shchicha, it's something which is uncommon. You're not going to have a chatzer where it's just simply one Jew and one non-Jew. But still, Rameir says that there's a requirement of Schirus. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the requirement of Schirus is only when it's two Jews and one non-Jew. Only when it's two Jews and one non-Jew, where that is a somewhat more of a regular event. So under those circumstances, the Chachamim were made the secondary gzera of having to be socher rishus from a guy. Already we discussed one question when it comes to Schirus from a guy, and that is, what if he refuses? Remember the Gemara in Samach Gimel Medbeis. Lachman Bar Ristuk was a non-Jew. He was living together with Jews in a chatzer, and he simply refused to rent out his rights to the chatzer. So the Gemara over there had a couple suggestions with Abai and Rava exactly what to do under those circumstances. Abai gave one suggestion, Rava didn't like Abai's suggestion. So that was one circumstance in which we dealt with. As we continue now in the Gemara, so we're going to be dealing with a couple of other circumstances where there are going to be problems in terms of the schirus of the guy, and the Gemara is going to form together some solutions in terms of what to do. One more point of introduction, as long as we're setting ourselves up for understanding today's daf, and that is the idea of bitul harishus. Bitul harishus, I mean to say that if, let's say, for example, a Jew did not make a contribution to the Erev doesn't work. Erev requires a contribution on the part of every member of the Chatzer, every Jewish member of the Chatzer. And let's say one family member, for whatever reason, did not contribute to the Erev. So right now the Erev is no good. Is there a solution? The answer is yes, and that's what's called Bitol HaRishus. Bitol HaRishus is that he could relinquish his rights to the Chatzer. Bitol HaRishus can be done even on Shabbos itself. We're going to be discussing this in more detail, but that's just simply a yediya. That bitzel can be done on Shabbos itself. Making an Erev has to be done before Shabbos. But if there is a Jew who did not make a contribution, so then he could be mevatel reshus even on Shabbos itself. Okay, Adkan, that's the end of the introduction. Let's begin with the Gemara. Reish Lakish v'tamidei d'Rav Chanina iklu lahu pundak. Reish Lakish, together with students of Rabbi Chanina, went to a particular inn. So this particular inn, so it was a chatzar situation, meaning that it had common area and it had houses. It could be viewed as a hotel, but anyway, and they were there for Shabbos. Now there was a non-Jew residing there in one of the rooms in one of the houses. Now, in terms of the actual renter himself, he wasn't there. Now, who do you have to be socher from? Who do you have to rent from? So you have to rent from the current occupant of the house. So if there's a landlord and if there's a tenant, so you need to go to the tenant. The tenant is the primary person that you have to be socher rishus, because while he's a tenant, so he's the one who currently is occupying and owning the home. He doesn't own, not ownership in the sense that he owns the property, but he's right now currently the one who's living there. That's the socher, that's the renter. And then there's the masker, there's the landlord. Now, it happens to be in this particular case, both the socher and the masker are both non-Jewish. Now, in this particular case, the socher wasn't there, the renter wasn't there, the tenant wasn't there, but the masker was, the landlord was there. So, amramal lemegar minei. So, here's now becomes the dilemma. Going into Shabbos, they know that they need to be socher, they need to rent out the rights of the common area from the non-Jew, but the non-Jewish tenant isn't there, but the landlord is here. So could we go to the landlord? Is the landlord a candidate to have this rental agreement with? So the Gemara says, well, if the landlord is not in a position where he could just simply evict the tenant, that means to say that the tenant has rented for a long-term basis, and the landlord simply has no right to evict him, so then the landlord currently is not a candidate to become the one that we're going to rent the rights from. So the Gemara says, oh, that's unequivocal, that we know for sure. And kiti ba hechad matz mesalek le. But we're talking about but the question becomes, when the landlord has the right to evict the tenant when he chooses, so my. So then the question now stands, can we rent from the landlord under these circumstances? Kevin de matz mesalek agirna. On one hand, he does have the right to evict him. So that kind of power, that kind of control, means that the Chachamim allowed us to rent not only from the socher, but even from the masker, from the landlord himself. On the other hand, even though he has that power to evict him, but currently he is not evicting him. And so maybe, even though he may have the power to evict him, but under the current situation, he didn't currently evict him. And so maybe no. Maybe we can't rent the space from the landlord. So Amalem Reish Lakish Niskor Ulechishinagia Eitz Rabbeinu Shebedarom Nisha Lahem. So Reish Lakish says, so let's do the following. Right now we're not totally sure what the answer is. Reish Lakish says, but let's do it. Let's rent out the space from the landlord. And then when we get to the scholars down in the south, we'll ask them what they thought, whether they thought what we did is correct or not correct. Okay, good. So Asur Shaila L'Rav Efes. So, and they went and they asked Rabbi Efes, and Amar Lahem Yafesisem Shescharten. And Rabbi Efes' response is, you did good. You are, in fact, allowed to rent from the landlord. And Rabbi Efes validated the actions of these group of people. Okay. As far as the story goes, so obviously there are a lot of interesting points over here, and a lot of halacha l'maisa. Just as an interesting point, we'll look at a short Rashi together. So you saw that when the question came up and they weren't sure what the answer is, so they said, let's go ahead, let's go through with it, let's do the rental, let's rent it from the landlord, rent the rights from the landlord, and then afterwards we'll figure out whether or not we did the right thing or not the right thing. Generally speaking, as far as halacha is concerned, if you're not sure about something, so you don't normally say, okay, let's just do it anyway, and then we'll ask afterwards. You don't shoot and then ask questions afterwards. Rashi over here writes, really short Rashi, Niskor. So Rashi writes, the Suffolk Devarim Lahako. Well, Rashi says this is a Dindarabanan, and by Dindarabanan, so we could be Mekel. Now, Makel over here, this is interesting because this is not normally what Makel means. Makel means is that it's a non machlokes, or a suffix which is unresolvable. Right? You're gonna have two pathways. One of them is one of them is tumah midrabban, the other one is tahor. And a suffix normally means that there's an uncertainty, but we know what the uncertainty is. We're familiar with what exactly the two issues are, and we can be mako by suffix derabbanan. Over here, what's the suffix? Suffix is we don't know the halacha. That's an interesting suffix. Under those circumstances, one could have made the argument, well, if you don't know the halacha, that's not a suffix. That's just simply a lack of knowledge. Okay, Rashi over here applies the idea of suffix derabbanan lekula even to the extent in which if we don't know what the halacha is, but it's a din derabbanan, so we could be mako, we can first do, and afterwards we can ask. Now, it could very well be, just to limit, because what we're saying is a tremendous chiddush, what we could do is we could limit this discussion to just the topic of Erevin. Meaning by Erevin, as we already learned a number of times, the Chachamim, after making the institution of Erevin, which in of itself is creates an obligation, so after that point in time, they allowed for many leniencies. So it could be that this idea is limited only to Erevin. Okay. Anyway, that's one interesting point over here. In terms of Halach Lamaisa, so obviously this turns into a major discussion in terms of when you're renting the rights, so who do you go to? So obviously the principal person you go to is the current owner of the house or the current renter of the house. That's the person that you go to in terms of being Socher Rishus. As you know, in modern Erevin, so when we make an Erevin around a community, so obviously in terms of the Jews and their contribution to the Erev, so it's done on their behalf based on the principle of Zachal Adam Shalom Bafanav. And in terms of renting out from the non-Jew, so here's what we don't do. We don't knock on everybody's door and ask if we can rent the space from them. But rather what we do is that we go to a governmental agency and we turn to the governmental agency and say that we want to rent out the space of all the non-Jews that are living within the domain of the Eruv, within the area of the Eruv. Now, is that the right person to speak to? So our Gemara over here touches on this very point. Now, the Gemara over here talks about going to a landlord who has the power of eviction, and he's somebody that you could turn to. Is the same thing true regarding a governmental agency? Is he going to be compared to like a landlord? Okay, so obviously, that is a major topic. It's a major discussion. So halacha, practically speaking, that's what we do, by the way. Parenthetically, that's what we do. But in terms of just analyzing it and thinking about it, so one can understand now the complexity and the difficulty in comparing a governmental agency to that of a landlord. Landlord has the power of eviction. A governmental agency, do they have the power of eviction? So there is something called eminent domain, but it's not exactly the same as a landlord and a tenant. Anyway, that's obviously a major discussion, and it's all based on the Gemara that we just learned together. We're on to the next story of the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Asi Iklulau Pundak, Da'asi Nachri Mare, De Pundak Bishabasa. So, the next question that comes up is as follows. Next story. Rabbi Chanina, together with Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Asi, went to an inn, and again, they were there for Shabbos, and as Shabbos started, so it was just Jews that were renting out the homes. And in terms of the common area, they made an Eruv. Here's the problem. Problem is that one of the non-Jewish tenants comes, and when does he come? He comes on Shabbos itself. And Amru Ma'u Lemegar Mine. And here now we have a very simple question. And the question is that can we accomplish this schirus, this rental, where we're renting out his rights to the chatzir? Can we do it on Shabbos itself? Now, we've already established that for Jews, in order to unify the common area so that we can carry from the homes into the chatzer, so there are two different processes that can be done. One is the Eruv, everyone making a contribution, and two is Bittul HaRishos. Now, here's what we know. Eruv can be done and only done before Shabbos. Bittul HaRishos can be done even on Shabbos. But over here, now we're talking about a non-Jew. When it comes to a non-Jew, there's only one way in terms of having a non-Jew in our chatzer and still being allowed to carry from our house, from our home to the chatzer, and that would be renting out his rights. Now, certainly this could be done before Shabbos. Question is, can it be done on Shabbos? That's the question of the Gemara, and the Gemara discusses. Socher kema'ariv dami, on one hand, the socher, should we compare him to the process of Eruv? So ma'ariv mi ba'oyom, af socher mi ba'oyom. Eruvin can be done only before Shabbos, so maybe schiris can be done only before Shabbos. Odilma socher kimevat reshus dami. Or maybe no, schiris is more comparable to the activity, the action of being mevat reshus, of relinquishing your rights. My mevat reshus, afilu b'Shabbos, af socher ve'afilu b'Shabbos. So just like relinquishing your rights can be done on Shabbos, so too can schiris be done even on Shabbos. So Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef Amar Niskor, Rabbi Asi Amar Lo Niskor. And now the Amoraim debate this very issue and whether or not they can rent out from the non-Jew even on Shabbos itself. So Amlu Rabbi Chia bar Abba Nisma Chaldivri Zaken V'Niskor. And Rabbi Chia bar Abba says, well, let's go to the, let's rely on the elder. And let's, in fact, rent out the his rights, even though it was on Shabbos itself. Also, Shaila le Rabbi Yochanan. And then, after that Shabbos, they went to Rabbi Yochanan. They wanted to know what's the halacha. Amar lahem yafas isem shesachartem. And Rabbi Yochanan's response is, good. What you did would be good. What you did was good. In other words, he allowed for the rental to occur even on Shabbos itself. Now, for a good part of today's daf, the Gemara is going to be discussing this psak of Rav Yochanan, whether or not this psak of Rav Yochanan is agreed to by everybody. Questions on the psak of Rav Yochanan, and probably you're wondering, you're thinking. So the Gemara concluded that but Shita's Rav Yochanan is that one can rent out the rights from the non-Jew even on Shabbos itself. Now we know when we're talking about renting out the rights, so basically we're talking about a rental agreement that you're accomplishing on Shabbos itself. That's called Mekach HaMemkar. Is the Mekach HaMemkar going to be prohibited? So Tosfos over here addresses that. Tosfos, short Tosfos on the towards the bottom. On Samach Vav Amin Alf Yafa Asisim Sheshchartem. Tosfos writes Lo Dami LaMekach HaMemkar Le Asur B'Shabbos. So this isn't exactly Mekach HaMemkar, says Tosfos. The Lo Havei Ela Kematana Ba'Ama. Shein Osten Ela Lahatir Tilto. So Tosfos describes this Matana Ba'Ama. It's really just more than anything else, just a gift. Now, even though, yes, there is a transaction, and even though, yes, we're going to be giving him a nominal amount of money in order so that he gives us this right, but really, says Tosfos, it's more a gift than anything else. Because the only reason why we're doing this transaction is only to allow us to carry from our homes into the chatzer. So we're not really purchasing anything, and the transaction is not really giving us any goods, or truth of the matter is, any legal rights, any additional legal rights to the chatzer. Now, it could very well be that this may take us back to a discussion that we had earlier in this parak in terms of the nature of the schiros, meaning as we already went over in the introduction to this morning. So when you are socher, so is it a schiros bria or is it schiros ru'ua? What is the nature of the schiros? Is it something where it actually changes our rights in the chatzer, or is this just a token rental? Just to allow us to be able to carry in the chatzer. Rashi, Tosfos over here writes, "Ein osin el lahatir tilto." It sounds like Tosfos is favoring the latter explanation, in that this is a schiris ru'ua. Could very well be that that's what Tosfos is suggesting over here. Anyway, but that's how Tosfos understands how this is not going to be a violation of Mekach HaMemkar. Okay, so question becomes. The non-Jew came back on Shabbos itself. Can we rent out from the non-Jew on Shabbos itself? So the Amoraim went back and forth. They eventually agreed that they were going to do it. Question was posed to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, you can do it. What you did was good. In the future, you can do it as well. You can be socher on Shabbos itself. Now, Toba Nahardai. So when the matter came in front of the Yeshiva of Narda, so they really were bothered by this. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Meaning, not only were they bothered by it, but they don't even think that Rav Yochanan really felt this way. Or at least what they saw is a steer within the shita of Rav Yochanan. The hamar of Yochanan socher kema'ariv damei. Now, I know that Rav Yochanan says that schiros is on par with eruv. Again, for the Jew, there are two processes that you could do in order to allow carrying. One is making an eruv, and the other is being mevatel reshus. And Rav Yochanan said that the schiros that we do with a non-Jew is comparable to eruv. And my love, and we know that Erev can only be done before Shabbos, so the same thing should be true with Schirus. Isn't that what Rav Yochanan is saying? And if that's true, so then I don't understand. How can Rav Yochanan say that the Schirus can be done on Shabbos, when meanwhile Rav Yochanan made a clear comparison between Schirus and making an Erev? And they can only and we know for sure that Erev can only be done before Shabbos. So the Gemara says no. Meaning, Rav Yochanan did say that Schirus is like Erev, but he said it only as leniencies go, not as restringency. And the Gemara points out three leniencies in which to talk about. Number one, Mama Arev Afil Bapachos Mishava Pruta, Avstocher Bapachos Mishava Pruta. Look, when it comes to making an Erev, so there is no monetary baseline in terms of how much you have to make a contribution. You have to put some bread in. Does the bread have to be equivalent to a Shava Pruta? No, it could be less than that. And Rav Yochanan says the same thing is true with Schirus. When we are renting out from the non-Jew, it doesn't have to be a Shava Pruta. It doesn't have to be equivalent to that of a Shava Pruta. Now, this could also take us back to a Gemara that we also did just a couple days ago, and that is when it comes to a non-Jew. So a non-Jew, as far as monetary law is concerned, there is no threshold of a Shava Pruta. For a non-Jew, even if it's Pachos Mishava Pruta, it's still going to be significant vis-a-vis the non-Jew. So it could very well be that that's what the Gemara means over here. But regardless, Rav Yochanan, that's one cool of Rav Yochanan, in that just like we know by Eruv, the bread doesn't have to be Shava Pruta, so to by Schirus, the money that we give to a non-Jew doesn't have to be Shava Pruta. One. Two. Mama Rav Afilu Schiru Lekito Af Socher Afilu Schiru Lekito. In terms of representation, so who has to make the contribution to the Eruv? So obviously, the principal owner of the home, or a representative. A representative can even be a worker. A worker can stand in the place of the owner in terms of making a contribution. That's Schiru Lekito. We went over that idea a couple days ago also in this parak. So that's true regarding Eruv, and it's also true regarding Schirus as well. Meaning that if we are a socher, not from the non-Jew himself, but from a worker of the non-Jew, so that also would qualify as a Schirus. In fact, by the way, hopefully you remember, that was Rava's solution to the problem. When Lachman Bar Ristik refused to rent out his space, so Rava's solution to the problem was that one of us in the chatzer should work for him, and by working for him now, so now we have the right to represent him in terms of accepting the schirus. That was the second point of Rav Yochanan. That also is a kula. And the third kula, Mama Arev Chamisha Sheshruim Bechatzer Achas Echad Ma'ariv Ayde Kulam. So Chanami Chamisha Sheshruim Bechatzer Achas Echad Socher Ayde Kulam. Also, we learned previously that let's say our chatzer already made an Erev, and our chatzer wants to go ahead and incorporate with a contiguous chatzer, two chatzers next to one another, a Pesach connecting the two. There's an opening. Now, the halacha is that we don't have to, but if we would like to, we can go ahead and unify these two chatzeros. So once the first chatzer already made an Eruv, so now you don't need all members of this chatzer to now go to the next chatzer, over, and be ma'ariv with them. One person now can represent us. Okay, so you can have one shareholder of our chatzer going over to the next chatzer and making an Eruv with them. So that's the idea of one doing it on behalf of many vis-a-vis making an Eruv. And the same thing is true with Schirus as well. Meaning if we have the five people living in this chatzer and there's a non-Jew living in this chatzer, we don't need the Schirus to occur between all members of the chatzer to the one non-Jew, but simply if one of us go to the non-Jew and rent out the space, he could be serving on our behalf. So when Rav Yochanan says that Schirus is like making an Eruv, he didn't mean it from the Chomer standpoint where you can only do it before Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. He only meant it from the Kula, and the Gemara just provided for us three Kulas. One, the amount of money that you have to give to the non-Jew could be less than the Shava Pruta. Two, you can even be Socher, not from the principal of non-Jew himself, but you can go to Schiru Lekito. You can even go to one of his workers. And three is that you don't need every member of the chatzer to be socher from the non-Jew. One person can be socher on behalf of everyone else within the chatzer. Good. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, we now have clarity in Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says that schirus can be done on Shabbos. And as far as comparing schirus to Erevin, so he only did that vis-a-vis leniencies, not stringencies. Taibar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rebbe Zira, Mai Taib de Rebbe, I'm sorry, Taibar Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar, however, was really bothered by the Pesach of Rav Yochanan. Okay. The word Taib Rashi over here explains, it means that he was like sniffing it, right? He was smelling it, and it smelled funny, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the word Taib is used in the context of smelling a wine. Anyway, so Taib by Rebbe Lazar, he was bothered by it. So I'm Rebbe Zera, my Taib to Rebbe Lazar. So, and Rebbe Zera says, I'm not really sure, I'm not really following, right? Rebbe Lazar is bothered by the psak of Rebbe Yochanan, that one is allowed to do schirus even on Shabbos itself. So I'm Rebbe Sheshes Gavir Rabba, ki Rebbe Zera lo yada, my Taib to Rebbe Lazar. So Rebbe Sheshes says, really? Rebbe Zera is a great Talmud Chacham. And I really don't understand why he doesn't understand what Rebbe Lazar's problem was with Rav Yochanan's Pesach. So Kakash le Dishmo Rabbe. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what bothered Rebbe Lazar. What bothered Rebbe Lazar is something that was said by Shmuel his Rebbe. And that is as follows. Damar Shmuel. Shmuel made the following three statements as it relates to an Erev. Now again, I just want to set ourselves up because it's going to get a little bit complicated, but let's set ourselves up well. As we already learned together, when you have Jews living in a chatzer, so in order for them to be able to carry for that Shabbos, they can do one of two things. Either they can make an Eruv, or they can be Mevatel Rishus. Making an Eruv, everyone makes a contribution. To be Mevatel Rishus, that means that everybody is going to be relinquishing their rights of the chatzer, with, of course, minus one of the members, who's not going to relinquish his rights. And so that means that this chatzer now is only owned by one of the members of the chatzer for that Shabbos. Mind you, by the way, and we said this before, but let's make sure that we are clear about this. Bittul Rishus is nowhere near as good as making an Eruv. Once you make an Eruv, everybody's allowed to carry from their homes into the Chatzar, and from the Chatzars into the home. When you're Mevatel Rishus, once you relinquish your rights to the Chatzar, so that means now that you've disassociated from your very own Chatzar, which means then that you won't be able to carry from your home to the Chatzar. So then what's the benefit of being Mevatel Rishus? So the benefit would be at least one person can do so. One person would be able to carry from his home into the chatzer. Later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about circumstances where it's clear where we needed one of the homeowners to be able to carry from his home into the chatzer. We'll see that later in our Masechta. Also, once you do Bittul Rishus, so now you can carry within the chatzer itself. Meaning prior to that point in time, the chatzer, even though it was a private area, but shared by many people. So you wouldn't be allowed to carry within the chatzer itself. Once you do Bittul Rishus, so then at least you can carry within the chatzer. So obviously, Erev creates much more allowance than that of Bittul Rishus. Okay. Again, that was all just setting ourselves up. And now, the statement of Shmuel, three statements of Shmuel. So the Amar Shmuel, Kol Makom She'Osrim, Ume Arvin, Mevatlin. Basically, what Shmuel's talking about over here is eligibility to do Bittul. When is Bittul going to be allowed? So, number one, if we start off Shabbos where there was restriction, that means Osrin, meaning it's a common Chatzir scenario, where I have multiple Jews living within a Chatzir, and if we didn't do anything prior to Shabbos, so then there would be Isser, there would be restriction. We wouldn't be able to carry from our homes into the Chatzir. And Ume Arvin, and we could have made an Erev. Now, we didn't, by the way, because, of course, if we made an Erev, then we wouldn't be talking about Bittul. And we could have made an Erev. So, if it's a scenario of restriction, and there was a possibility of making an Erev, so under those circumstances, now we are it's a candidate, it's eligible for the possibility of Bittul. Under those circumstances, you could be Mevato. However, Ma'arvin vein osrim. But let's say we could have made an Eruv, but there wasn't Isser. Now, I know that sounds confusing. We're going to clarify that point in just a moment. But let's just get comfortable with the statement. If you could have made an Eruv, but there was no Isser, or osrim vein ma'arvin, or let's say there was restriction, but with no possibility of making an Eruv, ein mevatlin. So under those circumstances, you're not eligible for Bittul. Now, even before we understand the second scenario and the third scenario, so let's just understand why. Meaning, what Shmuel is basically saying is that Bittul can be done, but only under limited circumstances. Why? Why can Bittul only be done under certain limited circumstances? Why is there any limitation to Bittul? Rashi over here writes, Ein Mevatlin. So Rashi says, Im Hutzuchu Latalta Mezu Lazu, Ein Mevatlin Rishush Shel Zu Lazu, Delo Takun Rabbanan Bittul Rishus, Elahecha De Asri Alayhu. So Rashi says, because look, this idea of Bittul is a Takana De Rabbanan. It's a rabbinic institution. And they only made this under the circumstances in which there are only in a scenario of restriction, meaning that the Chachamim limited the moments, the times in which Bittul can be accomplished, only when there's Isser. But if there's no Isser, so then the Chachamim didn't institute Bittul. Okay, so with that stated, Shmuel's first statement is well understood. The second and third statement to Shmuel needs clarification, and we're going to do all three of that right now. One. As far as scenario number one, where there was Issa, there was restriction, and there was a possibility to make an Erev, and we didn't make an Erev. So under those circumstances, you can do Bittul. So that's going to be when you have two Chatzeros, one interior to the other. We've discussed the scenario numerous times. You have an interior and an exterior Chatzer. The interior chatzer, the only way they can exit their chatzer is only by going through the exterior chatzer, by the chatzer achitzona. So under those circumstances, without the exterior making an eruv, there's restriction. Why? So this goes back to a topic that we already covered, but we get to now see it again. The more times we're going to see it, the more we're going to be comfortable with it. The idea over here is as follows. The interior chaser vis-a-vis the exterior chaser, that is what's called in halacha a regel. That is called traffic, right? And the only way they can leave their chaser is by necessarily going through the outer chaser. So vis-a-vis this halacha, so what we have over here is a regel. Now you remember we had a debate just days earlier between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim regarding a regel hamutar bimkomo. If the traffic that goes through is coming from a place where it's mutter, so then is that regel going to create residency in the outer chatzer? So that was a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says that a regel on mutter bimkomo oser shalom bimkomo, that is shitas Rabbi Akiva, and meanwhile the Chachamim say no, a regel ha mutter bimkomo is eno oser shalom bimkomo. Fine. But as Rashi points out over here, this isn't an example of regel ha-mutter, but rather it's an example of regel ha-osser. Rashi says, "Shtei chaser zuluf nimizu." I'm backing up a Rashi. "Deheicha delo irve pnimis latzma osra ha-chitzona afilu rabbana." De peligia la de Rabbi Akiva. Here, even the Chachamim would say that this traffic is going to be a problem. So, moda de regel ha-osseris bimkoma, osser shalom bimkoma, kigon b'chitzona. Because the interior chatzer necessarily has to go through the exterior chatzer. So over here now, this regel is for sure going to create residency and a problem for the outer chatzer. And so over here now, we have a case of interior-exterior chatzer. Interior chatzer now creates drisas harego for the exterior chatzer, basically creating residency in the exterior chatzer. If you didn't make an eruv, so then we are going to have iser. So this is a case now where restriction is going to occur. They could have made an eruv, and parenthetically, by the way, I'll add, they should have made an eruv. So they could have made an eruv. So this is all now category number one of Shmuel. So you start off with iser. You start off with the possibility of making an eruv. You didn't make an Erev, so now you could do Bittul HaRishus. You could relinquish your rights. The interior chatzer now could relinquish their rights to the exterior chatzer. Now, mind you, by the way, that sounds a little bit funny, because relinquishing of the rights means what for the remainder of Shabbos? They're stuck in their interior chatzer for the balance of Shabbos. So most probably, and Tosfos made this point earlier in this parak, most probably the answer to that question is no. It just simply means that they cannot be mishtamish. They can't use the exterior chaser. But anyway, that's all number one of Shmuel. It's funny, I said moments earlier, The first case is easy. After having just gone through it, I take it back. It's not so easy, but again, once you know the Rashi, once you see the Gemara, once you see the Rashi, we can navigate. Second halacha, second case of Shmuel. And let's go to, we're back into the Gemara. We're four lines from the bottom. Ma'arvin vein osrim, ein mevatlin. What would be an example where we could have made an error, but there was no restriction? So the Gemara says, I'll give you an example of that. Kigon, beis chatzeros u pesach echad b'neihem. We have two chatzeros. Each chatzer has its own egress to the street, right? If you want to see, by the way, in the standard Gemara, you can see the interior of the page. Under the bach, there's a couple of pictures. We're looking at the second picture over here, but it's pretty straightforward. In other words, I have two adjoining chatzers, but each one of them has their own separate exit to the street. Under those, and there's a Pesach connecting the two. So here's an example where these two chaseras, if they wanted to, they could join and make a joint Erev between the two of them, but they don't have to. Each one of them could still remain independent of one another. So here we have an example where they could have made an Erev, but there's no restriction. As long as each chaser by itself made its own Erev, so that would be fine. So here we have Erev, in other words, eligibility for an Erev, but no restriction. So under these circumstances, the Chachamim didn't allow for Bittul. That was number two. And finally, number three. Osen ve'in ma'arvin eima batlin. If there was restriction, but there was no opportunity for an Erev, so then ein mevatlin. So then Bittul cannot occur. Now, what's this case? So this obviously is why we're here. Meaning, when Rav Yochanan gave the psak that you could do schiros of a non-Jew on Shabbos itself. And Rav Elazar says, I'm really wondering about that. And the later Amoraim said, what bothered Rav Elazar? And Rav Sheshes was wondering, and Rav Izera was wondering. So the Gemara says, here's what Rav Elazar was wondering about. So this third case of Shmuel over here. What is the third case of Shmuel? So Lasu Yemai, that's exactly the question. What is that coming to include? We're talking about where is the chatzer, and aside from the Jews living in the chatzer, we have a non-Jew living in the chatzer as well. And the e da ase me esmo lugar me esmo. Now, if the non-Jew presents himself before Shabbos begins, no problem. You can rent from him before Shabbos. In fact, you should be renting from him before Shabbos in order to facilitate the carrying from everyone's home into the chatzer. So fine. So alalav da ase b'shabasa. So it must be that he came on Shabbos itself. V'katani osrin v'ein me'arvin, ein mevatlin. And this was the case where Shmuel says, now, what do we have? We have now Isser, and because now we have Isser, and we have no opportunity to make an Erev. Now, we have no opportunity to make an Erev because once the non-Jew comes, so our Erev falls apart. The Erev just simply deconstructs. Because the Erev was only good when all the Jews contributed. But and the non-Jewish home that was unoccupied, remember what we said earlier in our perek? An unoccupied non-Jewish home is simply not regarded vis-a-vis the Erev. But now that the non-Jew comes on Shabbos into his home, so now it becomes now an occupied non-Jewish home. And now there's a requirement of Schirus. But clearly over here, Shmuel understands you can't do the Schirus on Shabbos. Now, Shmuel's basic point is that you can't also do Bittul as well. Bittul is just simply not an option. But on top of that, the larger point that the Gemara is drawing from here is that Bittul's not an option, but it was already understood that Schiris is not going to be an option as well because you cannot be Socher on Shabbos itself. Shema Mina. So the Gemara says, so that clearly is Shmuel's position. And where are we right now in the Gemara? Aside from being on the top of the Amud Beis. Where we are right now in the Gemara is, it comes out that we have a machlokus over here in the Gemara between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan was of the position that schiros can be done on Shabbos itself. And Shmuel, as we just learned together, is of the opinion that you cannot do schiros with a non-Jew on Shabbos itself. The only time that one could do so is before Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. Okay. So a major machlokus between the Amoraim. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef lo Shmuel lehashmaita. Now Rav Yosef says, let's go back to the three statements of Shmuel, and he says, you know, I never heard this. Rav Yosef says, I never heard this first statement of Shmuel. Now, Shmuel made three statements, but as it will be clear in the Gemara, and Rashi over here notes, we're going back to the first of Shmuel's statements, where I have the interior chatzar and the exterior chatzar. And Shmuel says, here's a scenario where they should have made an Eruv. There is Isser, there's restriction, because the interior Eruv now has Drisas Aregel going to the exterior Eruv, making the interior Eruv residence of the exterior Eruv. And so now, if they didn't make an Eruv, so now we are in a situation where you are stuck. However, under these circumstances, you could do Bittul, meaning this was category number one of Shmuel, where there was Isser, there was a chance to do to make an Eruv, they didn't make an Eruv, so then you could do Bittul. That was the first statement to Shmuel. So Rav Yosef says, I don't remember ever hearing this. Now, as we know, and here in Masechta Eruv, and it came up already a number of times, Rav Yosef Rachmanos, he got sick, and then with his illness, he lost both his sight, and he also lost his memory as well. And he forgot much of his learning. And what he did is he went back to the yeshiva, and he learned everything anew. And very often, the Gemara tells us that he's learning with his students, then he says, I don't remember this, and his students have to remind him. And just imagine the tenacity and the perseverance that Rav Yosef had to have had, because when they reminded him, they said, oh, by the way, do you know how we know this? Because you taught us this. So you can only imagine how frustrating that must have been for Rav Yosef, but he had tenacity. So the Gemara says, Lo shmiela ha shmaita. So Amalei Abaye ata mart nihalan v'ha mart nihalan. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, what do you mean? You're the one who taught us this halacha. And you said it regarding the following, Damar Shmuel, Ein bitul reshos mechatzel lechatzer. Shmuel says that you cannot be mevatel reshos from one chatzer to another chatzer. Meaning, you could do bitul reshos within a chatzer. But what you can't do is you cannot do bitul reshos from one chatzer to another chatzer. Vein bitul reshos b'chorva. And another statement that was made by Shmuel is that let's say I have a home and another home, and between these two homes there is an abandoned property. So what you cannot do is that you cannot do bitul reshos so that we would be able to carry from our homes into the abandoned property that's in the middle. Now, on the statement of Shmuel v'amart lan Allah, so Rav Abaye is reminding Rav Yosef, so you taught us the statement of Shmuel, and then after that, you qualified. And your qualification was, Ki amar Shmuel ein bitul reshos mechatzer lechatzer, lo amar ela shei chatzeros bepesach echad b'neihem. When is it that you cannot do bitul reshos from one chatzer to another chatzer? That's when they're next to one another, but each of them have their own exit into the street. Aval zu lifnei mizu, but if I have an interior and exterior chatzer, mitoch she'osen zeh al zeh mevatlin. So you explain to us that when you have an interior and exterior chatzer, and now they fail to make an error before Shabbos, here's a situation where we do allow for bittul, because without bittul, there would be isser, meaning there was an error of opportunity, they failed on the error of opportunity. There's isser, because again, the interior chatzer, their drisas regal, they're having to walk, they necessarily have to walk through the outer chatzer, so they now qualify as residents of the outer chatzer. And by virtue of the fact that no Eruv was made, so now we have all the members of the outer chatzer who didn't participate in Eruv, and so now we have Isser. Under these circumstances, you have Isser. You had an Eruv opportunity, which you didn't take advantage of. So under these circumstances, you could do Bittul Reshus. So this was Rav Yosef's qualification of Shmuel's statement, which obviously conforms to what we learned on the Amud Aleph in the name of Shmuel. Now, Rav Yosef happened to have forgotten that, but that, again, that's what happened in Rav Yosef's life. So, Amar Lei, so, Ana Amina Mishmei de Shmuel Hachi. So, he says to him, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, but don't we have another statement in the name of Shmuel, which is, V'hamar Shmuel Ein Lana Be'erivin Ela Kalasha Mishnasenu. That when it comes to the topic of Erevin, so what we have is Lasha Mishnasenu, which is that when you are learning the halachas of Erevin, and you're learning it from the Mishnayos, you have to be exceedingly precise in the language of the Mishnah. So it says, Anshei Chatzer v'lo Anshei Chatzeros. In a Mishnah upcoming, so the Mishnah says that when it comes to Bittul Reshus, it says, Anshei Chatzer, the members of one Chatzer, and not Anshei Chatzeros, and not the members of two Chatzeros. It sounds like from that Mishnah that we never have a scenario where one Chatzer can do Bittul to another Chatzer. So Amarli Kamartlan Ain Lan Be'erivin Ella Blasham Mishnasenu Aha Martlan. So Abaye says back to Rav Yosef. So, yeah, Abaye says back to Rav Yosef. No, you misunderstood. meaning, yes, there has to be precision in the Mishnayos in Erevin, but not on that Mishnah, but on a different Mishnah. And the Mishnah also upcoming, which is Shamavi lachatzeros kechatzel abatim, that a mavi to the chatzeros is like chatzel abatim. Rashi over here explains effectively what that means, is that in order for a mavi to qualify as a mavi, I need multiple chatzeros, and each of the chatzeros have to have multiple homes. Well, we learned this halacha earlier in the Masechta, back in the first two prakim. So, okay, that's just simply the qualification of a mavi. And that is very clear in the very critical reading of the Mishnah. Mavi lechatzeros kechatzel abatim. Fine. Anyway, it's that Mishnah in which you need critical reading. Gufa. Okay, so the Gemara is now going to come back to this topic of discussion. Amar Shmuel in Bittur Rishos mechatzel lechatzer. Shmuel's of the position that when you have chatzeros that are next to one another, so you cannot have relinquishment of rights from one chatzer to the other chatzer. And ve'in bitul rishus b'chorva, and also you cannot relinquish your rights to the central property, the central abandoned property. These are the opinions of Shmuel. And again, we just learned that there is a qualification, and that is that when you have an interior exterior, there Shmuel does allow for the relinquishment of your rights. But outside of that scenario, in a standard construct of two chaseres next to one another, you cannot be mevatul rishus. Nor can when two houses are flanking a central home, they cannot be mevatul rishus to allow them to carry from their homes into the chorva. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh bitul rishus mechatzel lechatzer yesh bitul rishus bechorva, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees on both of these points. Rabbi Yochanan happens to be of the opinion that there is bitul rishus from one chatzer to another, and there is bitul rishus regarding the two homes flanking the central unoccupied property. Utsricha. Now the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are arguing, and both points needed to be accentuated. In the case of the two chatzeros, so Shmuel does not allow bittul because, as we already discussed on the Amud Aleph, you don't need bittul. Each chatzer can exist independent of the other chatzer. And now the only thing that bittul is allowing is to carry from one chatzer to the other chatzer. So under those circumstances, Shmuel says it's just simply unnecessary. And Shmuel doesn't allow it. However, when it comes to the case of the Chorva, so the Chorva, each homeowner would like to be able to carry to the central Chorva. And that is an area that's used by both of the flanking houses. So I could have constructed an argument that under those circumstances, Shmuel would have allowed it. And we could have just turned the argument in the other direction. Meaning, it could be that Rav Yochanan allowed in the case of the Chorva, where it's one central home to the two flanking homes. But in the case of the Chatzeros, maybe he agrees with Shmuel's argument that they could exist independent of one another. You don't really need the Bittul Rishus. So maybe Rav Yochanan would agree with Shmuel that in the case of the two Chatzeros, Bittul Rishus is just simply not allowed. Okay. We're going to pause over here because the upcoming Gemara, Abai and Rava, within the Shita of Shmuel, takes us into tomorrow's Daf. So we'll pause over here. And tomorrow we'll pick it up with Abai and Rava. In the meantime, however, let's quickly recap. Our first halacha we learned today is that there was a non-Jew living in the chatzer, but the non-Jewish tenant wasn't home for that Shabbos, but the landlord was there. And can we rent from the landlord? And is the landlord's ability to evict the tenant considered enough control, enough residence of the property, so that we can end up renting from the landlord? The Gemara's answer was yes. Right after back, a little bit back and forth, the Gemara's answer was yes. Our second topic that came up today, which really covered most of today's daf, is what happens if the non-Jew comes back on Shabbos itself, and so can schiris be done on Shabbos itself? So again, it started with an episode of a number of Amoraim renting in a property where the non-Jew appeared on Shabbos itself. The back and forth, and they agree that you can rent from the non-Jew on Shabbos. After the Shabbos, they went to Rav Yochanan, they asked him what his opinion was, and he said, you can rent on Shabbos itself. Again, we touched on the topic, Tosos over here, in terms of how this is not a violation of Mekach HaMemkar, but anyway, that was Rav Yochanan's conclusion. And then, for really the duration of today's daf, we learned together that Shmuel doesn't agree. We know that Shmuel is of the opinion that you cannot do the rental on Shabbos itself. I'm sorry, before we even get to Shmuel, in terms of the review, Rav Yochanan says that there is an equivalency that's created between Erevin and Schiris, but that, the Gemara says, is only for Kulos, only for the purposes of leniencies. Schiris does not have to be a Shavapruta, and Schiris can be done even with a worker, and Schiris can be done even one of the Jewish members of the Chatzar does Schiris, that he does on behalf of everybody. Leniencies, we compare Erevin to Schiris. But vis-a-vis being able to be Sochran Shabbos, Rav Yochanan says you can be Sochran Shabbos. And then the Gemara points out that Rav Elazar was wondering whether or not this is agreed to by everybody. And after a lot of back and forth, the Gemara concluded, Shmuel does not agree. Shmuel says that Schiris cannot be done on Shabbos. Schiris can only be done before Shabbos. And then what we also learn is, when does the Shmuel allow for Bittul? Only in one circumstance does Shmuel allow for Bittul. If there was restriction going into Shabbos, and there was an opportunity to make an error before Shabbos, then and only then can Bittul Rishus be done on Shabbos. However, if there was an error opportunity, but there was no restriction, or if there was restriction and there was no error opportunity, so then you cannot do Bittul HaRishus. That third case, what's that third case? Exactly what we've been discussing. The third case is where the non-Jew comes back on Shabbos itself. He creates restriction, and there's no opportunity for Erev. Because even if they made an Erev before Shabbos, once the non-Jew comes on Shabbos, the Erev falls apart. And so now we have restriction, and there's no longer an Erev opportunity because you can't make an Erev on Shabbos. Under those circumstances, you can't do Bittul. The Gemara also went back and forth about Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef doesn't remember Shmuel making the statement, but Abai explained to him that, yes, Rav Yosef, before your illness, you knew it very well, and you actually taught it to us. And then we ended today with a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Shmuel is of the opinion that you do not do Bittul from one courtyard to another, and you cannot be Mevatel Rishus when two houses are flanking the central courtyard. A central unoccupied home. Rav Yochanan says you can do Bittul Rishus from one courtyard to another, and you can do Bittul Rishus for the two flanking homes towards the central unoccupied home. Tomorrow we start with Abai and Rava. Okay, everyone have a great day.